The scripture reading this morning is Colossians 3. Page 1354 in the Pew Bibles. We'll read the verses 1 through 17 of Colossians 3. This is the holy word of God. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We'll be focusing on the verses 1 through 4 this morning. I'm just going to read verse 4 to highlight our focus for us. Colossians 3, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And we're beginning this new year with the end of a series we had leading up to Christmas and through Christmas and over the last service of the year, last Lord's Day afternoon, been focusing in a brief series on the glory of Jesus appearing, his revelation, his manifestation, his epiphany, his being revealed before us in glory. And just note that when Christ, who is our life, appears, when he is manifested, when he is revealed, then you also will appear with him in glory. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, here we are, the beginning of the year of our Lord 2021. In light of what we have been experiencing, in light of how the year of our Lord 2020 has gone, I suspect that you with me are a little bit tired, a little bit jaded, maybe even a little bit apprehensive about taking that step forward into this good new year. We wonder, what are we up against? We wonder, how will things go? We wonder, when will things change? When will things improve? And I submit to you that we need to take great comfort and great encouragement from the reality that we look forward to, Jesus' glorious appearing. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So, this morning as I stand before you, I do not pretend to be a prophet. I'm neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet. I have no crystal ball that we may gaze into together, where we may say, this is going to happen then and there. But I am, by the grace of God, a preacher of the gospel. And we do have the word of our Savior. And we have been given precious promises. And we do know who holds the future. We do know that we have a glorious future in Him. We know what's on the horizon ultimately. We know where we're headed. We know we have a future in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then we also, you also, will appear with him in glory. And that makes all the difference, doesn't it? It's that enables us to take the step. It's that which enables us to move forward. It's that which enables us to embrace the responsibility that is ours, to seize the day, so to speak, to go forward in faith. When you have no purpose, when you have no hope, when you have no future, you dawdle, you go in circles, you sit down, and you mope, and you're afraid. And when we forget where we're headed, when we forget what we've been promised, that's what happens. But we want to be encouraged this morning that we have a future, we have hope, we have a glorious Savior who will appear in all of his glory, and we will appear with him. The encouragement I want to preach to you this morning is the blessing of what we have in Christ and with Christ. And what I submit to you, therefore, is that the blessing we enjoy as we go forward is a blessing of being united to Christ. We have union with Christ in what he has done for us. We died with him. We've been raised with him. Our lives are hid with Christ in God because of him. He is our life. It's also in union with Christ that we may take up our responsibilities with great joy and with great confidence, not in our own strength, but in him, with him, because of him. And all of that because we have something that we can be so sure of in the glory of his coming again, the glory of his appearing. So, where Christ is, there we will be also. I'm taking this theme, the language where Christ is, it comes right out of the chapter here, 3 verse 1, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. But remember how Jesus spoke to his disciples in John chapter 14, when he urged them, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you, and that where I am, there you may be also." And of course, that speaks of the future that we're going to be speaking about. But I want to use this in the context of what we see unfolded for us here in Colossians 3, 1 through 4, as an encouragement where Christ is he's here with us now. And as we take up our responsibilities, where is Christ? Where Christ is, he's with us in that. And where Christ is when he returns in glory is where we will be also. So in the first place then this morning, let's look together at the givens. Let's just summarize. We're going to do the givens, the goals, and the glory. But it's very important that we begin with the givens. So as you comb through Colossians 3, 1 through 4, You'll see that there are different ways of speaking in those verses. And you understand that there are challenges that are set before us. There are commands and expectations. Seek the things that are above. Set your minds on the things above. Those are responsibilities. But it's important that before we run to the responsibilities, we rest in the givens, the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Because one of the reasons we may be apprehensive about stepping out into the year of our Lord 2021 is the sense that we're weak, we are frail, we are sinners. We fall short. And though we may be inclined to run after these commands, give me something practical, give me something to do, tell me what to do, if that's all that we would have to do, if that's all I would have to say this morning, I would not help you. I would not be an encouragement to you. I would set you up for horrific failure and disappointment and frustration. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do the other thing. At the end of chapter 2, the Apostle Paul had warned against being subject to regulations. What he's talking about here is an idea that religion is about stuff you do. And that's religion, I would say, in quotation marks. It's what man does. Verse 21 of chapter 2, do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, self-imposed, selfish, self-oriented, self-confident, what I do. But they're of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. You can't do it. But let's rather start with the givens. Let's not start with the goals. Let's start with the givens, the gifts of God's grace. If then you were raised with Christ. Now, it's also important that we appreciate that when Paul speaks this way, he's not raising a question. It may be important for us to examine ourselves and to be encouraged and confident as we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that my life is hid with Christ in God, that I trust Jesus, I'm resting in Jesus, therefore I've been raised with Jesus. But when Paul says, if you were raised with Christ, he's not, as it were, putting a question in our minds. He's not suggesting this is something that should be doubted. This is something that should be embraced and rejoiced in. The word if at the beginning of Colossians 3 verse 1 could well be translated since, because that's effectively what he's saying. Since you were raised with Christ, that's a given. That's the blessing of being in Christ. That's a blessing of being a Christian. That's the blessing of having been given the gift of faith to believe this Jesus. You were raised with Him. At verse 3, you died with Him. And you see, there is an identification of believers with Jesus in what He has done on the cross. When Jesus died, we died. He took our sins to the cross, and we died with Him. And when He was raised, we were raised. This is an astonishing thing. Just think for a minute about the resurrection of Jesus by itself. It's something that is amazing. that someone could have died and stood up again on the earth, who was raised in glory. And the teaching here is you have been raised with Christ. The blessing here is what we have in Christ, the givens, are as glorious as Jesus' resurrection. The language here goes along with what Paul had said in Ephesians chapter 2. That we sit there, 2 verse 6, we sit with Christ in the heavenly places. The blessing of our new life in Jesus Christ is so sure and so rich that it is as though we're already in heaven with Him. The confidence we look forward to is so sure that the language here is you've been raised with Christ. And it's a blessing of knowing that our sins are forgiven. Christ, Romans 4 verse 25, was raised for our justification. That we may know that our sins are forgiven, that God looks upon us as though we had never sinned nor been sinners, that God delights in us as He delights in His own beloved Son, is as astounding, as glorious, as amazing as the resurrection of Jesus Christ Himself from the dead. And it's what we rejoice in because of Him. We have life in Him. He is our life. And these are the things that are said to be the reality that we enjoy already now. We have been raised with Christ. We have died with Christ. Our lives are hid with Christ in God. Christ is our life. He's what life is all about. You know, sometimes we say with regard to someone who has become so focused on a certain thing, you know, cars are his life, or his work is his life. Christ is our life. And this is not given to us here in the way of a rebuke or a challenge or a reprimand. Is Jesus really your life? It's given to us as a declaration. A fact. It's a given. It's the grace of God. It's where we stand. It's a place to stand. All of these things that I would summarize as the givens. Raised, died, hid. He's our life. They're givens. A strong place to stand in Jesus Christ. It's not about earning our way. It's not about impressing our God with our efforts. This is where we stand. This is what we have been given. This is the grace of God in Christ. May we be encouraged. Verse 3, when it says, your life is hidden with Christ in God. And take this as an encouragement that there is something about the blessing that we have in the glory of our salvation in Jesus Christ that is beyond our comprehension, beyond explaining, beyond seeing. It's hidden with Christ in God. It's why the world sometimes doesn't get it. That's why, as 1 John chapter 3 says, the world didn't know you. Our lives are hid with Christ in God. Sometimes we may say it's as though it's hidden from us. Sometimes we say all of this glorious blessing, all of these givens in the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't always feel that way for me. Well, let's be honest about that. But let's be encouraged that in spite of our feelings, over against our feelings, over against our failings, this is what God says about us in Christ. You have been raised with Christ. You died with Christ. Your life is hid with Christ in God. He is your life. Sometimes I don't live as though He is my life. Sometimes I do live as though something else is my life. But be encouraged again in terms of what we may have by God's grace in Christ, that He is your life. And even sometimes when you have become overwhelmed with a sense of your sinfulness, overwhelmed with the memory of your guiltiness before God, take it as an occasion to be encouraged again in what God gives in Jesus Christ, that there is forgiveness with God in Him. Take those times of being overwhelmed as an occasion to be overwhelmed with joy that so great is the mercy of our God. Sometimes I don't see it. Sometimes I don't feel it. But this is the reality. These are the givens that we rejoice in Christ. And when we speak, therefore, of being hidden with Christ in God, we also may speak of a security that is ours. He keeps us. We dwell in the secret place of the Almighty, as we've sung from Psalm 91. He's not going to let us go. Nothing will separate us from His love. Nothing will snatch us from His hand. Whatever it is we fear, whatever it is we're going to be called to go through in this coming year, whatever is before us in the future, our lives are hid with Christ in God. In Christ, our lives are secure. These are the givens. These are the gifts of God's grace. But then we move to the goals. Because of what we have in Christ, we are able to move to the goals. We want to move to the goals. And now we don't see the goals as something we need to work up in ourselves or work up toward. They are blessings to work out of. We work out of the blessing of what God has given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. The resolve we express for Christ. So with all of the givens, we understand now that there has been created in us a passionate desire to see this glorious God glorified and to live our lives for Christ. We want to seek those things that are above. We want to set our minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth or of the earth. What does that mean? What do you seek? What are we all about? What do we find ourselves running after? The things that are most important to us. The things we find ourselves hungering and thirsting after are sometimes driven by our own passions, sometimes by our own fears. But seek those things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Be encouraged that Jesus has been raised from the dead. Be encouraged that Jesus is on the throne. So we seek the things that are about Christ and His reign, about Christ and His kingdom. Jesus Himself warned in Matthew 6, 31 and 32 about the things that the Gentiles seek, what they may eat, what they may wear. Your Heavenly Father knows you need all these things, but it's about your priorities in life. It's about what you become preoccupied with. Seek those things which are above. That is, ultimately, seek Jesus. Seek Him. Seek salvation. At a basic level, we think of the language of Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked man forsake his evil ways and the unrighteous man his evil thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, for he will have mercy on him. Seek the Lord while he may be found. And as we revel in the joy of our salvation, seeking the things above means that we do seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that we make that our focus. We want to make that our focus. Jesus is our focus. As Jesus also taught in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. And he's talking about a passionate, persistent commitment to seeking the glory of God, to walking in the way of thankfulness and obedience. It's something we want to do. It's something we're enabled to do by God's grace in Christ. When I speak about our goals, and I ask us to think about what our goals are for the coming year, allow me to sort of try to imprint upon your heart and upon your mind, on your memory, these little words out of the context of this passage. Where Christ is. Where Christ is. Let's think about getting up out of bed in the morning and asking the question, where is Christ? What's it all about today? Well, where Christ is. Let's take that as an encouragement in terms of the givens, where Christ is. He's with me. My life is hid with Christ in God. He's with me. He enables me to be glad in him. He enables me to live a life of thankfulness for him. And as I think about what my goals should be for the new year, what my goals should be for my family, what my prayers should be for my business, for my day-to-day life, let me put over all of those thoughts and all of those plans for the future, those three words, where Christ is. Now, that may be an uncomfortable way of saying it. You could ask it as a question, where is Christ? And when you think about making plans, it's helpful to have that check. Where's Christ? I'm making plans. Where's Christ in these plans? I'm seeking to go about my work. Where is Christ? And we want to develop the sensitivity that prayerfully we begin each day, we begin each new year, we begin the thinking about our future and our desires for the future with this commitment, where Christ is. That's where I want to be. What am I going to be doing? Well, where Christ is, that's where I want to be. So it's a check, it's a challenge. But it also reminds us again about the fact that it is all of grace. When I think about where Christ is, then I'm mindful of the fact that he is in heaven on my behalf. He's been raised from the dead. It's all grace. These are all givens. They're all gifts. So when I find myself struggling, when I find myself failing, as we certainly do, where Christ is. Be encouraged in the gospel. The good news that he receives you in grace. The good news that he upholds you and enables you by his grace. So seek those things. Make those things a matter of your prayerful commitment. Ask, seek, knock. Be as persistent as was Jacob of old. Lord, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Where Christ is, that's where I want to be. That's what I want to do. And set your minds on these things. It's about a mindset. A goal, a fundamental goal for this year is to have a mindset that I want to be where Christ is. In all of my plans, where Christ is. That's my mindset. And the challenge here is that we need to set our minds to this task because we forget. Because we get distracted. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, don't misunderstand what is being said here. Set your mind on things above. It's not suggesting what people often criticize, a heavenly mindedness that is of no earthly good. That's not the point. When it says, not in the things of the earth, it doesn't mean you should never think about the work of your hands. You should never think about food, or you should never think about the beauty of creation, or any of those things. That's not what's being talked about. When it says, not on the things on the earth, we're helped, I think, by looking at what it said at verse 5. Put to death your members which are on the earth. Same language. It's the identical language. That is, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Jump to verse 8. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. These are the things of the earth. Don't set your mind on these things. The basic truth is this: you can't set your mind on Christ and on sin at the same time. So part of setting your mind on Christ means not setting your thoughts on sin. And I think we all can speak from experience as well, where we have had a certain mindset that has taken us astray. You keep thinking about sin, you're going to find it attractive. What are you filling your minds with? What are we being entertained by? Are they the things of the earth that we're to be turning from? Are these the things that turn us aside? Set your mind on things above. That's going to take work. And it's only going to be accomplished by your understanding of the grace that's given to you in Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we say, if you put your mind to something, it's amazing what you can do. Well, put your mind to the things above. It's not something you would have been able to do by yourself, but it's something we are enabled to, it's something we will want to do by God's grace in Christ. Set your mind on things above. But then finally, be encouraged as well with the glory that we may expect, the revelation we expect with Christ. When Christ, verse 4, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. The language is very straightforward and very encouraging. When Christ, who is our life, appears. It doesn't say if. It says when. That is to say, it's going to happen. We don't know if it's going to happen this year, but it's going to happen. When Christ, who is our life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory. Again, there is a bold confidence. There's an absolute certainty that's being expressed. When he appears, you will appear with him. And just think of the glory of Christ's appearing. When he appears in all of his dazzling glory as the one who comes to judge the living and the dead, as the one to whom we look with eager expectation as our glorious Savior, you will appear with him. You will be like him. As glorious as he appears to our eyes, so glorious will be the blessing that we'll be able to be there with him. It's all because of him, where Christ is. My goal for my life is governed by that sentiment, where Christ is, that's where I want to be. But the blessing of our union with Christ is such that not only have we died with him and have we been raised with him, and our lives are hid with Christ, with him in God, that he is our life, we will be with him in glory. And we will be manifested as glorious, as those who have been gloriously redeemed by him. It's that certainty on the horizon that makes tomorrow and the day after that possible. It makes our seeking to serve him an eager, joyful commitment. We know where we're headed. C.S. Lewis once spoke of how it is that we ought to be, or how we ought to be looking at each other. In the fellowship of the church, in our lives together, in our families, there are times when we will disappoint each other. There are times when we show the folly of our sinfulness and when it makes a mess of things in our lives. And he said, when you're inclined to get frustrated with each other and disappointed, remember where you're headed. Remember where that one will be and the glory that will be revealed when Christ is revealed. And if you had any sense of what that would be, you would almost be inclined to bow down and worship them. Now, you shouldn't do that. But that will affect the way that we treat each other. That will affect the confidence that we have in each other. What are the ways, then, that we seek today in the confidence of what we look forward to tomorrow, the things that are above? Well, it's out of the Word, in the context of God's people. And Paul will go into more details. We're not going to unpack thoroughly the rest of what lays before us in this chapter, but he speaks of our need to put away sin and to put on loving kindness and tender mercy. He speaks of the need for holiness. He speaks of our need for each other as the elect of God. 3 verses 12 through 15. He speaks of the way that we bear with one another and forgive one another, and the way we live together with one another. The need for fellowship. This is what we're aching about in terms of what we miss. The need for worship. 3 verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We need to sing to each other. We need to admonish each other. We need to have the word of Christ dwell in us richly. We need to be gathered together. We do what we can. We long for better days. But these are the ways in which we seek the things above. Let me urge you, at the beginning of this new year, to think about a more devoted commitment to the reading and the study of the Scriptures, maybe a disciplined plan. Now, there are wrong ways to do this, of course. The Word of Christ is to dwell in us richly. Again, those three words, where Christ is. You can sort of slavishly plod your way through the Bible without reference to Christ, without any sense of Christ, without any encouragement in His grace. Let me encourage you also in your failings with regard to Bible devotion, that by His grace in Christ, you may be encouraged to see that Word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's how you seek the things that are above. It begins to show, therefore, in our own lives. It begins to show in our mutual fellowship. It begins to show in our marriages, as Paul will go on, verses 18 and following. It will show in the way we do our work, where Christ is. As we flip the title around, where I am, there Christ will be also. because I've been raised with him. I've died with him. My life is hid with him in God. He's my life. He's my life. I have that confidence because of everything he has done. I have a desire to serve him, to seek the things that are above because he's with me now. And I want to do that. I want to take a step forward for the glory of his name because when he returns, I'll be with him there where Christ is. There I will be also. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we praise you for the riches that are ours in Christ, the gifts of your grace, the givens that we may be encouraged about and be thankful for. Lord, we know our own failings. We know that we haven't lived up to our privileges. We know that we fail with regard to our responsibilities, but help us to be glad as we think about who we are in Christ, what we are given by your grace. And we pray that as we do so, you will enable us to be eager and engaged, to set our minds to the service of our God on the things that are above, where Christ is. Help us to have that commitment with regard to all of our lives, where Christ is. I want to be where Christ is. I want Christ to be where I am. I want to serve Christ in what I do. And thank you that we may be enabled and encouraged to do this because we know what we can look forward to when he is manifested in all of his glory. We will appear with him. It's all because of him. We give you the glory, Jesus, and we want to go forward for you. In your name we pray. Amen.